with people struggling with depression, anxiety, early recovery from addictions, even further into recovery, children of alcoholics and dysfunction, post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, eating disorder.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The people in Virginia and South Carolina and driving through North Carolina need to know that a major part of I-95 is still closed. We have a detour that goes around it.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory updating the media. Over 20 miles of a major interstate still shut down because of flooding. McCrory says the flooding could increase over the next couple of days. McCrory also said he's visiting shelters and the people in those shelters are not having an easy time.
I've been to those shelters. It is tough. It is not comfortable. It is as comfortable as we can make it at this point in time. We're trying to make it more comfortable.
The fallout is continuing from the release of emails by WikiLeaks. The latest batch appears to show members of the Justice Department tipping off aides to Hillary Clinton about the status of the investigation into how she handled sensitive emails while Secretary of State. WikiLeaks promises more emails are on the way. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods. No MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one, O-N-E, dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good afternoon. Special episode here today of Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's about 1 o'clock. It's 1:03 in the afternoon on October 10th. And I'm so excited to share with you our guests today in studio. I'm going to tell you about them in a moment. But if you happen to be listening and you'd like to know the weather forecast, mostly sunny this afternoon with a high about 67. Patchy fog after 2 a.m. tonight. Otherwise, partly cloudy, the low about 46. A slight chance of showers after 3 p.m. on Thursday. Patchy fog with a high about 70. And then that continues through on Thursday night with a low about 43. Sunny all day on Friday, the high is 61. And then patchy frost after 5 a.m. Mostly clear on Friday night with a low about 37. Patchy frost again before 9 a.m. Otherwise sunny all day on Saturday. And then mostly clear with a low about 40. Mostly sunny again on Sunday with a high of 68 and a low about 51. So we're going to go to our quick break. And then we're going to start with our Talented People special episode today in the studio here. Streaming live from the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce studio with my guests that are here. Dr. Nick Molinaro, he is a licensed psychologist and he specializes in sports psychology. And then also Celeste Chin, and they are co-authors of a book that's coming out called Inspiring Excellence in Sports, What Every Parent of an Athlete Should Know. And if you happen to be listening earlier today to Raising Conscious Kids show with host Kim Pramatic this morning, it's fascinating information. And you know what? It's not only what every parent of an athlete should know, it's almost what every parent should know anyway. So we'll be right back. It's going to be about a 50-second break. Stay with us, and thanks for listening to Talented People.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right. Welcome back to the show again. It's Talented People this afternoon. It's already October 12th. Hope you're having a wonderful day. It's gorgeous outside today. Feeling like the weather's going to get a little cooler, getting down to almost 40 degrees on Saturday night in New Jersey. But we're going to stay with the beautiful sun today. So I'm happy to tell you about my guest in studio. Again, two of them, they're co-authoring a book about inspiring excellence in sports, what every parent of an athlete should know. Dr. Nick Molinaro, he's a licensed psychologist, again, and specializing in sports psychology, and Celeste Chin. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to be able to share these two with you because they are working collaboratively on this book, and I want them first to tell you a little bit about themselves, and then I think you're going to be interested in learning so much about this, you know, being the parent of an athlete. So, Dr. Nick, please tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Jeannie. My background started with children many years ago when I was an undergraduate at Scranton, University of Scranton. I volunteered my time with children in an orphanage and became very interested in trying to help people. Upon graduation from university, I became a special ed teacher at the Midland School in Reddington, New Jersey, and took my first master's in special education. My second master's was in school psychology from Seton Hall. And at that point, I was a school psychologist and went on to my doctorate. Started it three times at William & Mary Temple, finally finished at Fairleigh. My postgraduate training is at San Diego University for Integrative Studies. My experience with children after I became a school psychologist was the director of special services in Glen Ridge, New Jersey, and then went on to work with students at the college level at what was called Jersey City State College, now has a new name. You know, post that, I became very interested in clinical work, and I did that for a number of years. But as a result of a race car accident that I had when I was driving race cars, I came down a downhill at about 100 miles an hour and spun the car, went into the guardrail, backed it in, and got a slight concussion and broke my arm. I figured I better not be fearful anymore if I'm going to race. So I learned how not to be fearful, and I said this would be a great career, and found sports psychology, and that's how I got into the whole arena of sports psychology. I've been very, very fortunate in my career to have opportunities to appear on a golf channel with Michael Breed, and I work with the Michael Breed Golf Academy out at Ferry Point Trump Golf Links. I'm at Fiddler's Elbow Golf Academy as well. I'm also working with Destination Athlete here in Flemington, New Jersey. And I also work with Mastroli Quarterback School down in Florida. Ken Mastroli has been the quarterback coach to Teddy Bridgewater and Sean White, who's at Auburn. That's a brief snippet of my background.
That was just a snippet, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I can't even, you know, take it all in. It's just amazing. And so how you have taken all of those experiences, and I'm thinking back about, like you said, the accident, and then also being at the orphanage in the first place. I mean, yes. You've had to be able to help so many different types of people over the years. And so this is how, you know, I'm going to let Celeste tell us about herself and how you guys met so that they can understand the wealth of information that we have right here in the studio today.
Okay, well, I started my career out of college and as an accountant for several corporations. And then when I had my first child, I decided to stay home and be a full-time mom. And by the time my second child came along and they started going into school, I noticed that I had two reluctant readers on my hands. And not being able to find good books for boys, because it's really – the market is not there for the boys, I started writing, which happened to be a long passion of mine, but nothing I pursued for a career. And so I started writing and I have finally finished a middle school novel. And then I started freelance writing for The Stir at Cafe Media. So that's where I am right now. But how I met Dr. Nick was my eldest happens to be a competitive junior golfer. And when he hit 16, he started to have issues with his swing and needed help handling his mental game at that time. He started getting very frustrated on the course and just very overall very unhappy with how he was playing. So it was suggested to us to go and go see Dr. Nick by several players who had gone to see him with great success, and he came highly recommended. So we did. And I found that I learned a ton from just the sessions that my son had with him, and just kind of put it all together at one point when I was talking with some friends one day about their struggles with their athletes and their kids at home, and just recalling what Nick had taught us at that point, and just said, we need to get this out there. There's so many parents. I'm not the only one out there who has no idea what to do with my kids and on supporting them in their mental game. So I approached Nick about the book, and thankfully he agreed.
This is so great. We're going to take our break early right now because it's already 1:11 on October 12th. And just because I want to share with you guys getting really into some of the situations where Celeste actually learned something that she did not expect from Dr. Nick. And then also talking a little bit about, you're right, the lack of any guidance or information for a parent of an athlete, pretty much from, age 4 to 17-ish,
exactly.
Unless you do go out and find a specialist and can actually know they're there and afford them, you may, especially with expertise like Dr. Nick has, you're going to have to find it in this book. That's what I think. So it applies to millions of us out there. So just stand by. We're going to go to a real quick break again. It's Talented People Special Episode 112, talking with Dr. Nick Molinaro, licensed psychologist and with a specialty on sports psychology, and then Celeste Chen, co-authors of the book Inspiring Excellence in Sports, What Every Parent of an Athlete Should Know. Stand by, we'll be right back. Thanks for listening in.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, welcome back to Talented People. This afternoon, we're filling in for a spot for young professionals. We appreciate the time, and we're trying to share with you some information coming directly from the experts, both Dr. Nick Molinaro, who is a licensed psychologist and specialty sports and psychology expert, and Celeste Chin. They are co-writing a book together called Inspiring Excellence in Sports, What Every Parent of an Athlete Should Know. And they were telling us a little bit about themselves before, and Celeste was just about to get into some of the reasons like that this book was created, because there's a lack of information and resources. There's not really any place for a parent to go to learn unless they have the access to someone like Dr. Nick, who's not accessible to the general world. And so Celeste decided that she was going to bring him out to the world by co-authoring the book. So tell us a little bit more about like exactly what's out there. How do parents, you know, what do they learn before their kids get into sports, and how do the kids take it so seriously that it could end up being such a challenge for them without the right training?
Well, there's really nothing out there, right? I mean, like when I think back to when I had my children, there were books out there that I could go to and, you know, kind of follow along their path to see, you know, the stages of development and everything. But there's nothing out there for parents right now where they can go and grab a book and go, yeah, this is something that my son's going through or my daughter's going through. What do I do? How do I manage it? How do I support them appropriately? There's nothing like that out there at this point. And so that's the struggle. And then, you know, getting into a really good sports psychologist like we had the advantage of doing and getting with Dr. Nick was great, but it's a huge expense for most families, and they just don't have the means or they don't have the access. I mean, not everybody has a Dr. Nick right around the corner from them. So it's a struggle, and that's why I think this book needs to get out there for the parents.
Absolutely. Now, what about like your experiences like with Dr. Nick? Like, tell us how it started. Like, what was your first day going to Dr. Nick like?
Well, for us, it started with my son is a competitive golfer, and he always did very, very well when he was young, from, you know, 9 until like 14. He really did. He excelled. He won a lot of tournaments. He did really well. But then his body changed, and he was changing his swing, going through swing changes. And he just started to have more stress around the game, more anxiety built up around the game. And so I would notice as he was on the course, he was playing, he would go hit a shot. And if he did did something he didn't want, or the shot, you know, landed in the fescue or wherever, and he knew he was in trouble, you could see it on automatically on his whole body that he was tensing up, getting stressed, and he wasn't able to move on from there. And a lot of times it really kind of just went down, it spiraled downhill, and he ended up having a bad round. So, you know, we went to see Dr. Nick because we knew he needed to get some type of emotional help on the course and how to manage that frustration, because when I was with him and talking to him, my way of dealing with it was, which was incorrect, but it was, you know, you're fine, just ignore it, move on. It was one bad shot, just ignore it and keep going.
I think that's what most parents would think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I was being encouraging, but I think what I was doing was, he could also see, as easily as I read him, he reads me, and he could see my stress just as easily as I could see his stress. So it was just a compounding of errors, parent to child and everything. So I think when he went to see Dr. Nick, I think my aha moment was when I sat with him in the car on the way home, and I was asking him what Dr. Nick had imparted upon to him. And he said, well, when I hit the bad shots, you know, the anger is okay, but I need to table it, to put it aside. Like, I can't let it eat at me while I continue my round. But the anger is understandable and it's valid, but I'll get to it later. And I think Nick can probably expand on that more, what
right.
he needs
and
to
why
do.
Is that? Yeah, let's hear from you, Dr. Nick.
Well, the technique is just really kind of postponing thinking about something. If I said to you, Jeannie, don't think about pink elephants, what would you be thinking about?
Right.
Okay, so well, your listeners are probably thinking about pink elephants. So when you tell someone not to do something, you cannot not pay attention to things you're not supposed to pay attention to. So instead, we shift attention to giving yourself permission. So instead of telling yourself that, you know, you shouldn't have these feelings or don't think about them, just say, oh, I'm frustrated and angry, I'm going to postpone them. Sounds relatively simple. Conceptually, it is. Degrees of difficulty may be great, especially for adolescent males. But the techniques are like that, where we can instruct not only the player, but their parents. So parents are very well educated in all the techniques we use with the players as well, so they can reinforce this at home.
Which has got to be like a learning curve to them. And I would think that when they walk in your office, that you have to, like as you were mentioning earlier on the Raising Conscious Kids show, that a lot of times, a lot of what's going on with the athlete is the parents' behavior, right? Can you talk about
Correct.
That for a minute?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Specifically, well, you know, there's a lot of pressure to perform at a high level. And I think that in a generalized cultural explanation of what I think is going on in our country is that everybody has to do the best and you have to achieve, and success is going to be measured by your achievement or perhaps finances or whether or not you got a full scholarship to a Division I school. And I've seen kids very young where parents are talking to them about, if you play like that, you're not getting into, you know, University of Texas or University of Maryland or Oregon. That's not going to happen. And the kid's 14 years old. He doesn't
right.
understand this.
Right.
So the expectations are very high. So we have to help parents look at more what the process is that we're going through in teaching a child, just like, you have to crawl before you walk, walk before you run, that kind of thing. So the process of playing a sport is how you place your attention in very specific places. And we actually teach athletes to do that. And we teach the parents how to do that. And so there's a corroboration. But so a lot of times I have to explain to parents that they're going to be doing things that are harmful. One case that I always report is a very, very high-level player who had her father caddy for her over the summer. And she walked off the course because her father was pressuring her into this, you know. So she played for an Ivy League school, and she didn't play anymore after that. And I couldn't get the father back in. So certainly I'm not blaming it on parents. It's that some parents have specific techniques that are not going to be effective. Other parents may. Some parents are more open.
Well, it does seem like the luck of the draw, because there's nothing out there to be able to guide them with. So it's like, you know, you're kind of, when they come in your office, I guess you can kind of say, well, oops, this is what happened. But like to the parent really doesn't know, like your book that's coming out is going to be a very practical way for you to be able to share with them. I was, while you were talking, thinking about the ages. You say that this is really kids in sports start around 4, is that right?
Yeah.
Up to 17.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a different way of talking to the parents of a 4-year-old to like what you were saying before is like a 13-year-old that actually is looking at that as though it's an identity situation? You know, how do you, what are some common denominators?
Well, I'm not working with 4-year-olds, although the book is going to address very specific things that are happening developmentally. So for a 4-year-old who is now more frightened than a 3-year-old is. Because at the age of 4...
Wow, that's an aha moment right there.
Oh, yeah, well, so a 4-year-old will think about a boogeyman, but a 3-year-old will not, because of their levels of consciousness. So when you look at stages of development, and then you look at very specific qualities that we're going to share in the book about temperament, we can predict which children are going to be anxious by the age of 11 months. So if we have a 4-year-old who's now going through things that are frightening that they can't see, and then are being told that whatever they might be being told, it might not be the most effective, and they haven't found effective ways to learn or to control what they're feeling, that's a lot different than what happens in 13-year-olds. So we try to educate the parents on these developmental qualities and also the temperamental predisposition. So one size does not fit all.
Exactly. And at the same time, there are certain things, like you just said, that make total sense that parents just need to understand off the get-go. What you were talking before about a couple other examples of aha moments that Dr. Nick had brought to you over the years, can you share some more?
Well, I think one of the major things that he taught me, and which has transcended even my kids' athletics, is focusing on the process over the outcome. And I think for me personally, I was always someone who just focused on the outcome. And so I imparted that on my kids. I did, and I take full responsibility for that. Like, you have to get A's in school. You have to, you know, do your best wherever you know what you're doing, whether it's sports or whatever. You have to really work hard at it. And though I never anticipated my, you know, I never put too much pressure on them with the sports, but it was there. And that certain qualities of your personality, I'm sure Nick will say, that they just come out, that you can't help it. So I was very outcome focused. And I think since he has, you know, enlightened me on the just focusing on the process and the fact that it's okay to fail, and actually that there's a wealth of information in failure, a wealth of ways to be a better player or a better student or anything with failure. Don't look at it as you've, you know, a crushing blow to your, you know, your ego or whatever. You need to look at it as a learning experience. And that in and of itself has changed how I parent overall. I mean, just not only on the course when my child is competing, but also just when they go to school and when they come home and they've had a bad day, they have a bad grade. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like, oh my God, we got to get on top of this. And I'm a lot more patient with them.
I think it's just awesome that you're able, like, to be the kind of personality that was able to learn by him, you know, really kind of being there to help guide your son. And you were ending up saying, wait a second, I didn't know that I was wrong. You just took full ownership for it. And then now you want to share it with everyone in your book.
So, yeah, I think it does take a certain sense. You have to be honest with yourself. I think we have to admit, and I think a lot of parents do. I think we sit there at night when you go to bed and you're like, ooh, I didn't handle that the best. You know, you do that kind of self-assessment and how did I handle this situation or that situation during the day. And I think it just, you have to be open and honest with yourself. Am I the cause of my child not doing well? I mean, I've seen it with other parents on the course. You know, when we'd walk through and the children were competing, and you can see the parents that will literally just absolutely just let loose on the kid for not hitting a good shot,
break them down completely,
break them down, or they've got the camera in their face and they're going to go over the footage later, and it's just such an intense atmosphere. And you know, there were times that I would, and I admit it, I'd go home and go, "That guy's crazy,"
right?
But it's no different than. It may be a little more extreme, but it was no different than my giving my child a look like, you know, hey, beef it up. Stop getting upset, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So it was just on different levels, but it's there. And you have to kind of sit back and say to yourself, I contribute to this. As parents, we have such a huge influence on our children. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like we do, and it doesn't feel like we've made any headway. We don't even realize how many times a day that we just affect them by certain little things that we do for them or do, you know, or say to them. So we have to be really conscious of those words. And I think for me, that's been probably the biggest thing that I've learned from Nick. And it's made a huge difference in just in our home overall.
Well, it's interesting that you, like, I'm just thinking about even the political nature of it as a parent mm-hmm. with the other ones, like you're talking about. One father or mother might be like totally onto it, and then the other one's just trying to give them some skills outside of the not being part of the sports, you know, area.
Exactly.
And so then how do you talk about it? And again, where do you go to get information that allows you to be able to kind of learn by yourself, which is from reading yourself, because you could get into some heated arguments trying to share your information with other parents who have different philosophies about this, right? Is that true, Dr. Nick?
Yeah, so you'll certainly see in the book that there's a great foundation in philosophy and spirituality, and spirituality just doesn't mean religion, obviously. When we talk about faith, and at some point we'll talk a little about that. Kind of addressing this whole thing around the process, as Alan Watts, the great American philosopher, said, you don't dance to get to the other side of the floor. And so if you're not in the moment of dancing, right, you can't really enjoy it. So the same thing with parenting. If the outcome is yelling at the child versus experiencing the process of increased awareness and using those as teachable moments. That's the process that's occurring. The outcome is that they want the child to change, but they're focused more on the outcome than they are the process about how to get that there. So what Celeste has been able to speak about and clearly integrate is that she learned as a result of how her son learned. So in some ways, he was teaching her, and she was using that. And so the book is going to explain how that whole process takes place. And so there's many, many metaphors about how you place your attention in the right place, like attending to the process. So if you were to listen to a great piece of music, so we'll take classical to begin with. If you listen to a great piece of classical music, you can listen to the viola, or you can listen to the harp, or you can listen to the flute, or the bass. The same thing with rock music. You can listen to the vocalist, or you can listen to the rhythm, or to the keyboard. You can selectively attend while paying attention to the whole thing. And what I'm trying to get players to do and parents to do is become aware that there is a whole thing that's taking place. If your attention is not in the right place, you won't be able to effectively manage what you need to do. And so that's when our kind of our subconscious mind comes up and directs us. And sometimes that's kind of faulty wiring or thinking or maybe parenting even from the past. So this is not to blame, but it is to take a look, a very close look, at how the process occurs. What are the factors that influence that, both developmentally, temperamentally, parentally, culturally? There will be a number of qualities from many, many resources directed towards educating.
Can you share with us a couple of stories, at least one or two, of just watching a transformation of someone, doesn't matter what age, just a story that we'll all relate to that you feel like you've made a big difference in?
Well, I can tell you the story. I didn't have much to do with it until later on in an individual's life. So those individuals who play golf will know what a 19 handicap is. Now, a 19 handicap means that your average score is about 19 points above 72, so 91. His score was 91, 92 when he was in high school. He's now what's called a plus five, and he just turned professional this year. So he came to see me in spite of the fact that he was playing at a very high level. He came to see me because there were some things that he really needed to pay attention to. And as we had him involved with the process, his performance has steadily improved and has gained himself now into professional status. So there's hope. So it's a...
Yeah, no, that must be so rewarding, though. Yeah. And especially, like you said, sometimes I like to wait to see a little bit longer later to see what was the result of whatever it was. But to have that happen, it's just all back, you know, to being able to provide some guidance at the right time. And it's something that made tremendous sense. We're going to go to a quick break right now. This is Talented People. It's actually a special episode. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 1:32 on the 10th, October 12th. And I've got in studio today, you're listening to Dr. Nick Molinaro. He's a licensed psychologist, and he's also a specialty sports in psychology. I don't know why I cannot get that right, but he specializes in sports psychology is the best way for me to say it. And my voice is leaving me as well. Celeste Chin, she's co-authoring a book with him, Inspiring Excellence in Sports, What Every Parent of an Athlete Should Know. We're going to be right back. Stay with us, and thanks for listening in.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People, special episode today. We have guests in the studio. It's 1:34. Dr. Nick Molinaro and Celeste Chin. Just to point out again that Dr. Nick is a licensed psychologist, and he also specializes in sports psychology. And he's been doing this in the most incredible places for a number of years. So if you heard his bio earlier, I'm sure you'll be over the top with the expertise here. And then Celeste has actually retained his services for her son and learned how much she needed to know as well along the course of the way. And so they have the book out, Inspiring Excellence in Sports, What Every Parent of an Athlete Should Know. And we're talking right now about the percentages and so on. Dr. Nick, can you talk to us about the percentages and those that leave sports?
Sure. So by the age of 13, research has told us that it's approximately 70% of youth not playing those sports again.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. And then the number beyond that is 90% of athletes in high school are not playing those sports again either. And certainly not playing at the collegiate level. They might play some of those sports. When you take a look at the number one reason why the young children at the age of 13 stop playing, they report that it's no longer fun. So with all the competitive aspects of performance, mostly because I think our culture is talking about winning, you know, versus if you look at from a more kind of Eastern philosophy, it's really more about excellence, which is what the book is going to be speaking about. And so winning, if you're not winning, is it any fun? We've been taught that winning is the most fun versus, you know, the process, which I just gave the example of. So, you know, our work is to try to educate many, many people. I'm sure there's millions of parents and children who are having these experiences of not being satisfied or having fun any longer. And I do think if there was a different approach to this, that learning would continue on in sport. When you take a look at youth hockey, and it's the only youth sport in our nation that is governed by one body. USA Hockey governs all hockey play. But when you look at baseball, Little League or Babe Ruth or all the different types of baseball games that you can play or associations, there's not a unified approach. So obviously what we're espousing here is that there's a system that we believe can be very helpful to having children succeed excellence, which is not only in sport, but which is going to be applicable to all levels of performance. As you know, Jeannie, my work is not just with athletes. It's also with individuals and CEOs, and I do talent acquisition for major corporations. And what we found is that there is a very specific way in which they perform, and we can see this performance being generated or developed at early ages. We can certainly predict which of those individuals are going to be able to be successful. So the system that we're espousing here will have a lifetime impact. This is not just about enjoying soccer or baseball.
Right. Oh, I can see that. And I'm so grateful to Celeste, actually, for really catching it. Okay, you know, what I'm listening to you and just learning from your relationship, you know, is your son was having some challenges in the golf world, and so he needed some expertise, went to Dr. Nick, where that you learned about some of the faults you were actually not aware of, that you were probably making it worse. So when you go back to saying about this, you know, 90% of the in the teens that don't continue on, and it's like there's so many reasons why, but like you said, it doesn't just apply to golf or to one particular thing. It actually applies to everything. The process, the coping skills down the road, if they're able to, you know, be fulfilled because of they're not just winning, right, but they're working the process. Speak right to that.
Well, I think for me, I mean, it was kind of an aha moment just speaking with friends and realizing the vast number of parents and most of the parents out there that have needed this kind of information.
Right.
And needed kind of, because, you know, parents go with the flow, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much we kind of go feed off of each other. We talk to our friends, we talk to people, you know, during the sporting events or at school and what everybody else is doing. And it seems to be like as everybody else does, you do, and you just kind of say, well, that must be the way to go.
Right.
Their child is succeeding, or that child got into college golf, or he got into some sport in college, so got to do what they did. Mm-hmm. And we tend to go and sign them up for all of these things, and we feel that we're doing the right thing for our child, but we really have neglected in a huge way the mental aspects of any of our child's development towards sports or even academics. We just don't spend the time on it.
And there's nothing out there.
And there's nothing out there to look at.
What to do. Right. That's the truth.
And the beauty of this book is that it allows you to, I think for parents, it will allow them to kind of open up the book. They're not sitting there. They're not having someone look at them and judging them
right.
for their wrongs. But you're sitting there in the book, and you have to be honest with yourself. And I think it allows you to do that in the privacy of your own home and just kind of read through it and say, ugh, yeah, I didn't do that right. Or, yeah, I do this well. I need to do this more often. Mm-hmm. And how to be a better supporter of your child overall. And Nick is right. It totally transcends athletics, mm-hmm. And it goes into so many other areas. So, I mean, the people out there that this will help is voluminous. I mean, you're talking about parents, but you're also talking about coaches, people that coach.
Absolutely.
You're talking about teachers.
Right.
Anybody.
The whole philosophy and learning, really. You have mm-hmm. to be guided by an expert, again, Dr. Nick. Can you tell us a little bit about after – like the 13-year-olds, if they start to move away from sports, what happens to their mental state at that point?
After they've moved away from sports? You know, I think that some, and I think you might be able to address this with your own son, Celeste, is that if an athlete or for youth recognizes that they're not going to have the identity as an athlete mm-hmm. because they're not going to be good enough, whether it's true or not, but if that's what they believe, that's what they're going to do. Just like an anorexic who believes they're fat, they're going to act that out. And so if an athlete believes that they're not going to be successful, that will happen. And certainly I've seen a number of athletes get injured because their parents pushed them to play the sport. They didn't want to play the sport. And as a result of that, they didn't play the sport effectively. So a classic example of a very, very high-level soccer player. Parents believe she was peaking at the seventh grade. And she was now a junior in high school. And they wanted her competitive nature back. She didn't want to play. She was brought to me to try to help her get her motivation, and I just tried to counsel the parents to understand that the expectations of her to perform at a high level when she didn't want to is risky business. So if you look at soccer, lacrosse, any movement where you have to plant your foot and twist effectively, she wasn't doing that, and she kept having injuries. And I'm convinced that that was a reason for it. So when you look at what happens post, you know, this period of time where you've been an athlete, maybe you don't want the identity or you don't have the, pardon me, the identity, you may then go into a grieving period of time. You know, grieving is a loss of what you had and you can no longer have, but it's also grieving about what you dreamed you could have but you're not going to have. So grieving is about those two qualities, and I'm not sure the parents are aware that grieving can be a part of what's happening with the youth, as they now know that they can't perform or they don't want to perform anymore. So they're in a bind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you played you know, up until that point in time, you're going to have to make a decision. And certainly not every kid's going to suffer from this. But it's one of the things that we need to be cognizant of. And the book is aimed at trying to increase awareness of all these kinds of phenomena that are occurring, you know, developmentally with children.
Well, I'm just thinking about, like, typically, like, if on the total opposite side of what you're saying, because I completely believe it's another aha moment by what you're just saying. It's like, consider your child and this child's grieving rather than, I would have just thought, oh, he's humiliated. He's just figuring out that he's not good enough, or maybe I guess he's not good enough. I would be thinking about it from my you know, instead of, oh my God, my poor kid, he's just so sad and he's got to change his goals and he's understanding this in his own way. And you just don't think of it that way.
That's a great explanation, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. People think that if you're sensitive, that you're empathic, and it's not the same thing. So if I say I'm sorry to hear of something that happened to you, well, that's my experience with your experience. It's not yours.
Right.
And it's not easy. And I give the example of the young girl running down the sidewalk, and she falls down and scrapes her knee and comes into the house, and she's crying, and she looks up at her mother. Mother says, that's nothing to cry about. And the kid says, it's my knee. And so empathy is so different than sensitivity. And so I think in the whole process of parenting, one of the recommendations I've made to parents for years is to spend 3 minutes a day behind your child's eyes. What do they see as soon as they wake up? Do they see coming down the steps, having breakfast with mom or dad, or by themselves? What's it like to be on the school bus, to be in school and come home? What's it like to play sports or whatever they're doing? That'll get you closer to the empathic process
right.
of what your child's actually experiencing.
And I've never even ever heard of anything like that before. And now, again, that I have, I can't wait till the book's here. And Celeste, again, she had the eyes behind your eyes, I guess, to kind of pull this together. Do you want to add some thoughts to those conversations?
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, I've experienced it with my oldest and just going through his, you know, cycles of everything. And he's kind of went through that, what Dr. Nick just talked about with a mourning period, in that he's leaving a sport because he had, you know, pretty much it had run its course for him and he wanted to move towards something else. And as excited as he is about his new endeavors and all of these things that he's doing, there was a side of him that seemed very sad to me. And like there was something almost awkward in a way. And I had mentioned it to Nick one day and he said, Celeste, he's mourning. And it just kind of hit home for me that he was mourning because this was his life since he was very, very young. And he did it all the time. He competed every weekend. He competed during the week. He, you know, flew to different tournaments. And it was his whole life and his whole identity.
That whole identity thing strikes it right on.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't realize it.
Right, right. Well, also, what happens when maybe the child just decides that he's not any good at it or something and decides he's going to stop? Then does he have a whole guilt trip to the parents and all that, too? What happens with that?
Well, yeah. Certainly, you know, depending upon how the child arrived at that and
right,
what the expectations
yeah, right,
were.
Right.
And the children certainly know that at times parents will experience vicariously the child's successes.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting study done with 13-year-olds. And the boys that were participating in the study talked about moms and dads. And they said dads were experiencing vicariously their successes or what it was like to go out there and, if you're playing football, hit the guy hard. And for moms, not so much. And so a lot of kids, and particularly very sensitive kids, would experience guilt. Mom's sitting in the car when it's raining out and I'm having fun, but what's mom doing? And so right around the age of 13 or 14, it is depending upon which psychologist you read, a psychiatrist, Oedipal or Electra complexes and that kind of thing, that guilt can certainly come up, you know, that you're taking time away from mom's and she's not really having a good experience, or that you haven't fulfilled dad's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make this
right.
Gender, parent-specific,
but getting it.
Just as examples that those kinds of things can take place. So you get back to the whole process you were talking about, really about seeing behind your child's eyes, empathy, you know, versus sensitivity. So it's not my experience with your experience, it's your experience with your experience, and how do I get there? That's what we're trying to help parents identify that process.
Well, I was just going to say that. It's like kind of like, you know, you're bringing this invaluable expertise that mainstream parents don't get access to, unless, again, like you were very privileged, you said, Celeste, and the ability to be able to get Dr. Nick, and because you were even able to get an appointment with him, as you know, and even have a sports psychologist, you know, it's such a sure specialty, you know, niche and expertise that you're able to share it. But I would think that for all of those parents, all the parents out there, because again, it's not just even sports parents, but specifically into any type of sports because of that whole,
right,
like way that you're thinking, it's like a movement. And it would seem to me like there would be a lot of different, initiatives, or there might be people out there who are listening to this conversation who would want to get involved and support your mission. So what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you all?
Well, you can reach me at my office at 973-543-0808 in Mendham, New Jersey,
mm-hmm,
or on the web at Dr. Nick Molinaro, MOLINARO.com.
And what about your Twitter handles?
My Twitter handle was CC Sports Parent, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. they can reach me through Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to let everybody know that, because it is something that you want to bring initiative awareness to. There might be opportunities that people are listening for you guys to come and speak to either their school, like athletic department, or if there's a sponsor or someone interested in being part of this, to get the message out. Because now that we have you up to speak about it, then we want to make sure people know about it.
Yes.
So let's hear a little bit more about what does it feel like for you guys to be working together, and what do you think is going to be happening in the future? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, I love working with Dr. Nick. He's been a great adding to my life, and just I have learned a tremendous amount. So I'm excited to get this book out there for the parents and for coaches and for everyone who it will help, because I think that it's definitely needed in our culture today. I think we need to kind of take a step back and look at life a little bit and what we're doing to our kids, and are we really doing the best for them in the long run. So I'm very excited about all of it, and I think it's one of many books to come that we'll be collaborating on, because it's been such a great experience so far. So,
well, for me, first of all, if you haven't worked with a psychologist or a sports psychologist, you should know that we have all the answers. If we don't, we make them up and nobody can tell. So
that's great.
In addition to whatever knowledge I have and I have to gain, Celeste brings something very fresh, to this whole process of educating parents. You know, from her perspective, in vivo, real life experiences of what it was like for her. She is very talented at writing, and she's creative, and she can organize information. So I can say anything I want to, and she'll make sense out of it and put it down in writing.
That's a great balance. So let me just ask you, well, we have just a couple more minutes. If you, Dr. Nick, were sitting there, a typical day for your office, and you have people come in like Celeste, can you give us a couple other situations that seem to be very basic that, you can kind of say, this is exactly what I see all the time. Anything strike you that way?
Share? Would you like to know about a specific case?
Absolutely.
So I work with some very high-level gymnasts. One of my gymnasts went to the Olympic trials this year, and she finished 11, and they took the top eight, a Jersey girl, and hopefully she'll do very well in the next one. But I work with several gymnasts who are going on to major gymnastic universities, LSU, Georgia, Utah. And with frequency, 70%, to be exact, 70% of gymnasts block from doing their activity. And when you look at what they do with their bodies, throwing them up in the air and doing all those kinds of things, 70% of them block, at least for a certain point in time. They can't literally do that action. So she would run to the vault and stop and not do the vault. And fortunately, we have very specific techniques, and within either 1 to 3 or 4 sessions, find out they're able to do the technique. Sometimes the technique is hypnosis, and sometimes the technique is not, and it's about how to dress your attention. So in any sport that I'm doing, and actually even with students who are participating in the SATs and the ACTs, where they get anxious, it's a very similar thing. Your brain can't tell the difference between whether it's a vault or, it's a question on the ACT.
That is so fascinating.
Yeah. So your mind can, but your brain can't. So
I mean, I'm just picturing, my whole life, okay, when I'm watching the gymnastics or whatever, right? Yeah. It's like, I just do not understand how someone could just stand up on a balance beam, flip up in the air, and then land straight. I mean, I block out the thought of not even being able to think about leaning backwards. I can't imagine, but like you're saying, the brain has so much, you have to understand it like you do to teach it to someone else.
Yeah. Well, brain and the mind, obviously the mind's a function of the brain, like metabolism is a function of your kidneys and liver. So, but the interesting thing about your mind is that you can control it, but your mind will affect your body. So let's do a little experiment.
Wow.
So I'd like for you to imagine a nice, juicy piece of fruit in your mouth right now.
Okay.
Watermelon, lemon. And within a few moments, you're going to start to salivate.
listeners. I've already.
Yes, okay. And so just talking will produce this. Now, what's happened is that your brain cannot tell the difference between the reality of a piece of fruit there or just a picture. And so once the salivation begins,
Oh my gosh.
Once the salivation begins.
I'd be there every day.
It would take about 3 minutes for it to stop. So this is a good example of how the mind influences the brain influences the body, and that's a basic summary of my work.
Well, that's basic summary, and now everybody's going to want to know a lot more because that's intense. I wish I had a way of describing what I do for a living like that. It's so colorful, and it made so much sense, and it was so productive in the universe. No, really. So, okay, we have about a minute left. I would just like to ask you guys if there's anything else you'd like to say, and then I'm just going to recap and let everybody know about your upcoming book.
I just think that I think this book will benefit a lot of people out there, and I hope that, you know, when you do get it, you'll read it and be open and honest with yourself to get the most out of it that you can.
I'm very pleased to be working with Celeste in the book, and I'm sure that some of my students and her parents will see a lot of the learnings that they've had in my office. I look forward to writing some more. Thank you.
We're so excited about the book coming out. Again, this is Talented People, a special episode today. It's about 1:55 on the 12th of October. I'm Jeannie Murphy. And if you were listening along, you were listening to Dr. Nick Molinaro. He's a licensed psychologist, and he specializes in sports psychology. And he has with him his co-author of the book, Inspiring Excellence in Sports, What Every Parent of an Athlete Should Know, Celeste Chin. You're going to be seeing a lot more of them over the next couple months as their book comes out. And with, you know, just so much information that if you're interested in learning more, you can get in touch with them directly. Celeste, can you give them again best Twitter handle to get in touch, and then also Dr. Nick?
Okay, the Twitter handle is CC Sports Parents.
My Twitter is drnickgolf.com, Dr. Nick Golf.
And thank you both so much. And if you want to see Dr. Nick, you can pick him up almost anywhere in the media. He's always out there, you know, promoting betterment for sports and players. And he's all over the golf channels and everything else. So thank you guys again for being here, and congratulations on your work.
Thanks for having us, Jeannie.
Yes,
thanks for listening in to Talented People. It's 1:56. Have a great afternoon.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We seen the plane coming through all the poles and hitting one, crashing right there in the last one. And then a car accidentally stopped. You know, it's like God, sent from God.
A witness to yesterday's plane crash in East Hartford, Connecticut, and now the pilot reportedly saying it was intentional. East Hartford Mayor Marcia Leclerc said the survivor of the crash told police it was not an accident. The crash took place near the corporate headquarters of jet engine maker Pratt & Whitney. North Carolina's governor says they're ready for anything that flooding hits them with over the next week.
We've got ambulances, fuel trucks, law enforcement, feeding stations, generators, swift water rescue teams, field hospitals, high water clearance vehicles, and National Guard.
The governor said that over 20 miles of Interstate 95 is still shut down due to high flood waters. More news online at usaradio.com.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles